Hey, welcome to DemoMirror.com. This is Matt, and you just heard a song by Tony Vecchi called Spit. I'm sitting here in a beautiful small kitchen with him. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about the song.
Well,
is it fairly new?
No, it's old. I did it 2 years ago in 07. Yeah, I did it in 07. I'm trying to remember, it was when I lived in Leominster and I was on the third floor and I had a nice space up there in my bedroom. And so this was, yeah, probably around September, October of 07. I did it. So it's 2 years, 3 years, 2 years old. Yeah.
So is the actual song that old, or is just the demo that old?
The song, like, basically, like, if I have a song that if I'm going to actually end up recording anything, and I catch the small window of time that I actually can get myself to do it, it's a song that's fairly new. So I don't usually hold on to old ones and record them later. So at that time, I had just written the song, and you know, it held my interest enough that I laid it down. So it was, yeah, it's exactly like I wrote it at the time I recorded it.
Cool. You're saying you do a lot of your songs like that? You won't have them sitting around, you'll just sort of get them out right away? Or?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. If I write a song and I like it enough, I'll record it. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, I made some lists of, like, songs that I'd like to record. And I'm, like, looking at the list, I'm like, I'm never going to record any of these songs. It's too late. Maybe it's not, but right now, I don't know. I have a very small window of time when it comes to recording something, if I'm actually going to do it. So I got lucky with this one, and I felt inspired. Probably drank a lot of coffee that day.
Why is it that you have, like, a small window of time? Is it because you get bored with it, or is it, like, does it run its course after a while for you?
Yeah, I feel like if I don't catch it at the right time, it's either I'm not engaged with it as much as I would have been at a certain point. So, like, with this one, I know I had just written it, and I usually, you know, I can feel it coming. So I finished the song, and I got excited, and I practiced it a couple times, and then I started laying it down. And sometimes, you know, I'll write something, and it won't be a finished idea, or, you know, I'll go to record it, and it won't sound right, or I'll have a hard time with it. Like, I was working on a song yesterday here, and I was having such a hard time with it, and it's such a struggle to keep on going, especially when it's hard. And this one's fairly simple, like the guitar work and stuff on it wasn't too difficult, so it was easy for me to record. So there's lots of different factors if I'll actually record something and to completion, and a lot of it just has to do with how easily I can get it out from my head to the recording. And this is probably one of my earlier ones, sort of, where I was still kind of feeling out my recording equipment and getting used to it and getting comfortable with it. So
you're fairly, I won't say new to the recording game, cause you're not, but like, doing things on your own, are you, that's just a few years. Were you just sort of feeling it out at that time?
Yeah, like, definitely. I mean, I had a Tascam like everybody else in high school, and I had maybe did like two or three songs. I'm not prodigious in any sense. Like I'll eke out a couple every once in a while, and they're wrought with so much pain and suffering on my end to do it. It's very frustrating for me most of the time.
Yeah.
Especially on my own, because doing stuff on my own, is there's no motivation for me there. Like, usually if I have someone else like Ben or Jeff, they'll poke and prod me, which I need. So doing things on my own is very, very difficult to keep the inspiration going. And, you know, there's, during this period of time, I made maybe four or five songs I recorded, and there are a couple that I gave up on. And I know that for a fact, I tried doing one, and I punched my guitar as hard as I could, and I put a big crack in my acoustic guitar, which is still there. So I definitely get very upset when I go to do stuff. So yeah, the song that where I punched my guitar and that no one will ever hear. But this one came out. I was happy with this one.
So with this song, what is you're talking about being? You sort of have to be inspired, that sort of thing. What with this song specifically was your inspiration?
This song, for me at the time, I was single, and I had a lot of friends at the time that had girlfriends, and the girlfriends were, you know, the way I saw it, were holding them back. And this is multiple people. And this is probably more my perception of things than actually how they were. But at the time, I was living next to two people who were in a relationship and in the midst of a very fresh and new relationship. And, you know, it was their honeymoon period, and I'm in my room by myself. And so I wasn't jealous because, you know, I've had love and in relationships and all that stuff. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't something that I wish I could have had, but there was a big difference between where I was and where they were. And I'm in my room by myself and I'm singing songs. You know, the song's about, partly it's about, you know, just, I don't even know, girls and hating them and hating girls. I hated girls a lot of this time. So this is one of the songs that was definitely fueled by my hatred of women folk. To put it very bluntly. So that was my inspiration, definitely being next to these two people that were in the throes of affection with each other, and I'm in my room by myself. So there's a couple songs that came out of it, that definitely came out of it.
Okay, when you write a song like this, or any song really, I know you do your thing with close friends, you do Tony Bear. And I was just wondering, when you're writing a song, do you, like, maybe this one, specifically, were you intending it to be a Tony Bear song?
I think this one was outside of the spectrum of Tony Bear or Close Friends. At the time, Close Friends was in its nascent stages of just beginning, and I didn't really consider it for Close Friends, and at the same time, I didn't even think about it for Tony Bear, because it's just pretty much a Tony song. By himself. When I write, I do think about my sister, I think about Ben, I think about Jeff, I think about the drummer I'm playing with. I think about people all the time when I'm writing songs, and I usually try to write songs for them, or like at least have them in mind when I'm writing. Mm-hmm. And this one is totally just, it's in a vacuum seal, away from everybody else, just me. Although Andy is on this song. If you listen to the vocal background part near the middle to the end before the guitar solo, Andy's actually singing on it. So I let him in a little bit on it. But mm-hmm. for the most part, it was just me thinking about nothing but myself, I guess.
So is there some different instruments on here than just guitar?
Yeah, at the time, I had, Ben was coming around a lot, you know, at the time. We were working a lot together on stuff, so he would leave instruments at my house, and so there's three instruments on this one. There's my acoustic guitar, the one that I punched. There's my electric guitar. And then there's a little air organ that Ben left. Or maybe it was the Bon Tempi. There's two organs that Ben left with me. And one was a tiny little air organ that buzzed like a tractor. And you had to like hold it down and press the buttons on it, or keys on it. And then he left his Bon Tempi, which was, half the time I would turn on the Bon Tempi and not know the right buttons to press to actually make the sound come out of it. Because there's like certain
right.
switches that if you press it, like only like half of it works or something. So
right.
I think this one actually used the Bon Tempi, I think.
It sounds like that, I think.
Yeah, it's the Bon Tempi. Yeah, the Bon Tempi's on there. And I didn't do it. I think it's only in the beginning. And I just did a little, I don't play the keyboard. And so, you know, but it was right there in my room next to me, so I thought I'd accent the beginning with it just to see, and it worked out. It worked out pretty well. The keyboard I discovered is pretty close to the guitar in some respects. You know, I could kind of draw more parallels between like notes on the keyboard between notes on the guitar and match it up. You know, nothing elaborate. There's no harmony or anything like that, but I used the Bon Tempi, and that was like the first time I'd ever really laid down a keyboard on any song. I used that little air organ once before, but it's rare that I use anything else besides a guitar, so it was fun to break out and do something different.
You are, I feel you're a brilliant guitar player, and this song has a guitar solo in it. And the main structure of the song, the guitar parts are fairly intricate. So I was just wondering how that all works together. The solo, did you do you think these things out, or you just let them out as they come? Or
the guitar in the beginning was just two kind of chord things that I was playing around with, and that's like the whole song spawned from that, where the those two things were like just a chord thing that I always play around with, and the rest of the song kind of folded out from there. And the solo, this was like another big thing for me where I like heard, usually when I, before this period, I would, when I would do a guitar solo, I would just let it out, you know, and whatever happened, happened, and hopefully it was something good. This is probably one of the first times where I actually heard what I wanted to do before I played it, which I surprised myself with, because, mm-hmm. you know, and I, I'm very satisfied with that, because it's nice to structure something to some degree. So, yeah, when the solo comes in over this, it's like simple chords, which is always easier to do solo. Or, yeah, I definitely had that first like opening riff structured in my head. And at the time, I'd also discovered some new shape patterns that I was kind of working with. It sounds so much more elaborate than it actually is, but you know, it's, you know, you find out new things on the guitar, and you know, I basically, all my soloing is built off a pentatonic scale and other notes that I find around it. And at that time, I had just found like a new shape, because I only work in shapes. I don't even know mm-hmm. what I'm doing, but I found a shape that worked out, so I threw that in there too, which was cool for me, because it was like different. So
that's interesting. I'm sort of like a visual guitar player as well. Like, I see it more in like patterns or shapes or something like that. Have you had technical guitar lessons? When you were younger, did you go to guitar lessons? Did you learn certain things? What did you learn on your own? What did you learn in lessons?
My formal training is definitely lacking. It's definitely lacking. The first song I learned was Heart of Gold by Neil Young, and I learned like Sweet Child of Mine, the riff to the beginning of it, and I learned a couple songs in a like pentatonic scale, which I said, in the blues, how to play the blues, and learning the blues was probably where I stopped learning how to play guitar from like guitar teachers and stuff. So after that, it was just kind of...
How old were you when you stopped taking guitar lessons?
I probably stopped taking lessons by the time I went to college. At the end of high school, I believe, was when I was done with lessons. So I must have been 17. So I started playing when I was 12. So I took lessons for like 4 or 5 years and then just kind of gave up. I never liked guitar lessons at all. I would go to guitar lessons and have the tabs in my hand in the car and be like trying to learn it in my head before I got to lessons, which is stupid, because it's like, what's the point? It's not like I'm going to school. I don't know. I probably just didn't want to hurt my mom's feelings, because she was paying for the lessons. So I didn't want to show up and, you know, not be able to do it. But yeah, I never liked learning as much as I wish I did. I wish I had a bigger capacity for learning scales and music theory and stuff, but it's just not the way I work. I wish it, like, I know keys, and I know like, oh, that's an A, that's a B, and all that sort of stuff. I always consider me and all of my friends, including you, we're just like cowboys, you know, we know a couple tricks, but it's not we're not formally trained at all.
Right.
That's,
I think,
cool.
I think you get there's some gray area there and room for debate, but I think without the lessons, or without so much formal training, you're your own musician a little more, and you create for yourself, you create and in your own rules. You're not doing it in like this tradition that's been passed down from whoever, guitar players, piano players, whatever. So
there's a lot of different sentiments there. I believe that before you break the rules, you have to know the rules, sort of, you know, that's I don't know who said that, but you know, I always think about, you know, like a great artist like Dali. I always use this example, Dali, because if you look at his early work, it's still life, it's just line drawings, and it's very precise, and then he becomes the master of surrealist painting, you know. And but at the same time, depending on the person, too much influence, you know, you're overly shaped, and mm-hmm. you don't know how to think for yourself. So I think a balance has worked the best.
Yeah, what's interesting about that Dali analogy as well is like his painting is like, I mean, you're right, like that early painting is like still lifes, but even that like surrealist stuff is, it still has those rules. It's just like tweaked. It's not like he's like being painterly, as they say. He's not like using brushstrokes. He's just like warping the still lifes to like his, you know, ideas of dreams or whatever crazy stuff that goes on there. But
yeah, and so, you know, it's like you have the rules to work with and you can mess around with it, you know, and I don't know, I just never wanted to play by the rules or whatever whatever you say, I don't know.
Did you have anything else to say about anything about this song or anything else in general?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, this song was, it's one I never showed anybody, so this is probably the first time anybody's hearing it, and I like it. I like to call it an adventure song, where it starts off in one spot and it goes on its own adventure, but it does come back home, which is nice. At the end, it does go back home, and I think most adventure songs, the best adventure songs, are the ones that come back home in the end, like any good adventure. So I like to think about that song like that. I like to do that, and I haven't written a lot of adventure songs lately. Probably after playing with you guys, it's made me look at, you know, the, not that you guys write simple songs, but more, you know, standard-esque type of music, which is good, it's great, you know, it's yeah, just interesting.
No, I know what you're saying about the adventure songs. They feel very, it's a good word for them, they feel very like they're just an exploration, and they feel organic to me. When I was in Lights, we used to do songs that were like, they didn't go back to any part, and you just kept progressing, and it feels organic to do that, and that's how I feel. I think that ties into what you were saying about not being a trained player, like, you think outside of that box. Like,
yeah, and a lot of, when I first started writing music, I wouldn't know how to write a song and make it, you think it would be easier to write 1-2, 1-2 song, mm-hmm. but when I first started writing songs, they were always just go off in like some random direction and never come home, and this was definitely a part of my song. It's not like every song I wrote was a crazy adventure song, but a lot of them were coming out like that at this point, and this was a part where I started seeing how it's nice to wrap them up in the end, and definitely more so now the songs I'm writing now have more of a standard structure to them, like a traditional song, and it's cool to be able to go through that kind of progression, and, you know, have an experiment, and then, you know, I think you get it tired with adventuring for so long, and it's nice to, obviously, you know, from Lights to the Binaries, it's like, you know, sort of like less adventure, you know, and I'm moving in that same direction sometimes too, where I have songs that are crazy sometimes too, but it's nice to be like, well, here's the song. It's a little compact, little piece, you know. Mm-hmm. This one is definitely more sprawling, but I don't know. It's just how it came out, so.
Yeah, I think it works. It's a cool song.
Thanks.
So thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.